Welcome to the My Money Podcast number 20 from helpmetosave.com. I'm Karen Bryan, editor of Help Me to Save, where you'll find money tips to help you enjoy a rich life. In this edition of the My Money Podcast, I'm going to discuss the question, should I save money? Of course, first criteria for being able to save money is your income high enough to cover your living expenses? Now, some people who have quite a high income don't save money, whereas some people on a lower income may live within their means or below their means and still be able to save a bit of money. So the important thing about this is to draw up a budget. How much are your realistic living expenses? Can you save some money by shopping around for different suppliers? And if possible, I think it's always a good idea to try and save at least a bit of money. Everybody should definitely have an emergency fund to cover a few months' expenses. Some people say 3, some say 6, some say 12. But I think it's really important to have some sort of money set aside that you can dip into if something unforeseen comes up, so you don't start having to borrow money and then borrow more money to pay that debt. So once you've managed to build up some emergency savings, which would need to be in an instant access savings account, so you can get into them without having to give notice or penalties, how else should you save money? Where should you put it? How much should you save? Well, there are different options. In the UK, you should certainly try and use your cash ISA allowance, so that you don't pay any tax on the interest. Every adult can save up to £5,640 this current tax year in an ISA. However, the big issue with saving at the moment is that most people's savings are losing spending power. In April 2012, the official inflation figures in the UK were the Retail Price Index, RPI, at 3.5% and CPI, Consumer Price Index, at 3%. Now, I would dispute these figures. I'm not sure that they even accurately reflect the increase in our living expenses. But even if they are accurate, it's still pretty difficult to get a real return on your savings where the rate of interest you earn is higher than the rate of inflation. A few years ago, we were able to get a 2 or 3% real return on our savings. Now, in some accounts, you don't make any return, or if you tie your money up for a while, you maybe make a tiny real return, like 0.5%. I was looking for a new home for my cash ISA savings, and I wasn't sure that I wanted the ISAs to be tied up for too long, partly in the hope that interest rates would eventually start to increase, and in case we needed access to the money during the term. However, in order to get a decent real return, I really had to take the decision to put my cash ISA pot into a 2-year fixed rate account. I chose an account at Santander, which pays 4% over 2 years. So as long as inflation stays at the current level or falls, I will get some real return, some increase in the spending power on my cash. Also, Santander seem to be offering quite a lot of reasonable accounts at the moment, because their eSaver issue 5 has just increased the rate up to 3.2%. So this is a good home for instant access savings, paying 3.2%. Unfortunately, if you're a taxpayer, you're going to have to pay 20% tax on this. So you're going to lose a chunk of that. Your return is going to be way below 3%. So no real return, but it's about the best rate you can get on an instant access account at the moment. But really, it is a pain forever having to shunt your savings around, make sure that you don't have more than the financial services compensation limit with any one provider. But sometimes banks with different names all come under the same scheme, so you always have to check if you've got a savings up to £85,000 that they're covered. You know, if the bank goes bust, you're going to be paid because, for example, Lloyds Bank is part of the same group as Halifax and Bank of Scotland. So if you had 85,000 in Halifax and 85,000 in Bank of Scotland, you wouldn't be covered by the financial services scheme. So that's something to watch out for. But, you know, you're forever trying to find the best interest rates, judge if you should go for a fixed rate. A lot of the high interest rates have bonuses. The Santander eSaver Issue 5, which I referred to, has a 12-month bonus. So if you put something in with a 12-month bonus, you can guarantee that you're going to have to shunt that money around in 12 months again into another account. So trying to work out how much you should save, how much should you spend? Because of course you do want to enjoy life as well, but try and plan for the future at the same time. So my husband and I are in our 50s, and I wanted to look at the option of using some of our savings to top up my husband's pension to give us a better standard of living. But the difficulty with this approach is trying to work out for how long you'll live. If you knew exactly how long you would live for, you could divide your savings by that number of years. If you say, I'm going to live another 40 years, you've got £40,000 just as an example, then it's £1,000 a year you can top your income up by. Because, yeah, savings are there for a rainy day and you never know when you'll need them. But at the same time, if you're not able to do the things you want to do because you don't have enough cash, but you've got lots of money sitting in savings, it seems a bit pointless. But conversely, if you just fritter your money away and then you need money at some point, especially if you're older, maybe need some medical treatment that you can't get on the NHS in the UK, you'd be cursing yourself for frittering the money away when you could have saved it or even worked more to earn a bit more money. So it is very, very tricky. I mean, you can look at the average longevity in your country, but you could live longer or less time than that. And also, you have to always take into account inflation. If there's high inflation, then maybe £1,000 to top up your income in 20 years' time is going to be worth about 500 now, so not actually going to improve your lifestyle much. Then you may also want to help your children or your grandchildren, give them some financial help, but again, how much help do you give them? You don't want to leave yourself short of money, but there's not much benefit in inheriting money from your parents when you're 60 or 70 yourself, when you could really do with the money when you're younger. So it is difficult. I just feel you can go round in circles, and I don't think there is a definitive answer to the save or spend dilemma. I know that people are looking for answers, quick fix solutions, but there isn't one, unfortunately, for this. It's just going for some kind of balanced approach where you have a reasonable income and you can enjoy doing the things you want to do, but you have some sort of financial backup for things you want to do, for when you get older, for when you want to help your kids. So you just have to sit down with your partner, spouse, whatever, your family even, and try and just look at different scenarios and try and come to a decision, because it's very easy to be indecisive. You think, oh, you know, save into my pension, and if it's a stock market pension, you don't know what it's going to be worth, what it'll give you. But by the same token, you're going to need some kind of top up to your state pension in the UK. It's not going to be enough to live on. So you can prevaricate forever you look at the options and you have to make a decision, kind of spread your money between stock market, property, cash savings, cash ISAs, as I say, so you don't have to pay tax. Just have a kind of a balance. And of course, with a balanced approach, you're never going to do that well, because if the stock market does fantastically, you won't get the full benefit if you don't have all your savings in it. But then if you have all your savings in the stock market and it does badly, then you can come a cropper. So yeah, you have to look at your life goals and try and align your finances with them. It's not easy, but it's something that you really have to tackle. Give it a fair amount of thought, look at the various products, discuss it, and then act on it, and to some extent cross your fingers that it all works out, because there are no guarantees, unfortunately. So I hope that listening to this My Money podcast has given you some food for thought about how you might like to organise your finances. Of course, it depends on your stage in life as well, but it's something that you have to look at, revise every few years. You can't make a plan at a certain age and think that that will definitely last you for the rest of your life. But don't ignore it. Do get to grips with your money. I know it might not be the most interesting, thrilling topic, and reading through terms and conditions and charges and exit penalties of things is not thrilling, but it really is essential that you get to grips with your money and decide how you want to use it as a tool to help you live the life that you want to lead. So do join us again soon, and thanks very much for listening. You can read all our articles on the site at helpmetosave.com. You can also sign up for our free newsletter and subscribe to Help Me to Save in an RSS feed. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.